We're doing Jewish history. We're in the middle of the story that Eldad Adani describes what happened with the 10 lost tribes. And Eldad Adani describes how the tribe of Dan, his tribe, left Israel long before Sanherib came. They left Israel for fear of civil war. They did not want to partake of killing their brethren. And we move on. He tells us the story of how Sanherib came. V'achar kach ana Sanherib melech Ashur. Sanherib, the king of Ashur, came. V'yagleim, and he exiled the tribe of Reuven, Gad, and half the tribe of Menashe. And he brought them, as it says in the Pasuk, Lachlach Chavon Har Gozan, till today. That's what it says in Chronicles, in Divrei Yamin. Then Sanherib ascended a second time. And that this is also described in the Navi Yeshaya. The Navi Yeshaya describes Beit HaRishon Hekal, Altza Zevulun, Ve'altza Naphtali. First Hashem said, I'll lighten the load. There's going to be less Jews in Israel. So that's the exile of the 2.5 tribes on the eastern side of the Jordan. And then Zvulun and Naphtali. So that's what he describes now. Only he says it wasn't only Zvulun and Naphtali. It was their neighbors as well. Asher, Naphtali. And Sanherib took them out to the Assyrian Empire. Sanherib dies, and then three more tribes fled Israel, he says. That's not the way it's described in Navi. He says the tribes of Naphtali, Gad, and Asher went southward to Cush. And they traveled through the desert till they came to the area of Cush. And they spent 20 days journey conquering the people of Cush. And he says there's an ongoing war between them and the people of Cush till today. Eldad Adani says it's been 1,000 years.
Until today is in the time of Eldad Adani.
Eldad Adani. Eldad Adani. So that means it's been 1,500 years. And they're still fighting. And these four tribes, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, they're settled in the ancient land called Havilah, which the Torah describes as the land where there's a lot of gold. And that's an area which is under the reign of the kingdom of the Parvayim, the under the King Horinus. Now the tribe of Dan, Naphtali, and Gad and Asher, they are God-fearing people, they have faith in Hashem. And that's why over and over again they are victorious. And time and again they fight seven kingdoms and seven nations. And the names of these lands that they fight are Tusina, Kamtu, Kuba, Tariugia, Takula, Harma, and Kalum. And sound familiar? There are lands beyond the rivers of Cush.
Kuba, actually, Rabbi, the one thing that does make sense about it is that
Kuba,
the two countries, Ethiopia and Somalia, often have a bad history with each other. So I know that Somalia is divided into seven tribes of sorts.
Manyan. Interesting. So he says these four tribes, they have a lot of gold and silver and precious stones and sheep and cattle. And they live in tents and they plant and they harvest and they travel. They're nomadic. They'll go 2 days' journey. And wherever they camp, no one can enter. But they'll always camp in places where there are fields that are growing and orchards, vineyards that are growing. Their king's name is Uziel. And they name their Nasi, their prince, Elitzafan ben Aholiav. And their flag is a white flag written on it in black letters, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And whenever they want to go out to war, so they blow the shofar, and then the general comes, and they go out to war, 120,000 flags. When they go out to war, they carry with them 120,000 flags. And every month, one tribe, one of those four, goes out to war, spends 3 months at war, and whatever they bring back as loot, they divide with their tribe. We have descendants of Samson. Remember the great judge Shimshon? So the descendants of Samson, who are the tribe of Dan, they're always more successful than the other tribes. and they'll never retreat at war. It's considered an act of shame, and they are a huge tribe, the tribe of Dan. They're like the sand of the sea, and all they do is go to war. And whenever they go to war, they say a brave warrior never flees. A person should rather die young than turn his back on the war. They have a strong heart and believe in Hashem. And they yell numerous times, Shema Yisrael Hashemu Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then they all charge. And this is what they do. Every 3 months, a different cycle of going to war. And they bring back their loot to their king, Uziel, and he'll divide it. And this is their rule from the time of King David till today. And of course, the king takes his portion. And he gives out part of the loot to those who are masters of Torah, who don't go to war. And then the one who led the war also takes his portion. And then 3 months later, so Naphtali goes out. And 3 months later, Gad. So in every 12 months, they finish a cycle, right? We said there are four tribes. Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. So every 12 months, they finish a cycle. Now we also have a tribe that's called the tribe of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we call that tribe, the descendants of Moshe, Yanus. Yanus. Because Moshe fled from Avodah Zarah. Moshe stuck to Hashem. And this tribe lives in a place where they're surrounded by the sea. It takes 3 months' journey in any direction they want to go. And they live in fancy houses, and they have beautiful towers. And they built this stuff when they were rejoicing over Helefaint. I don't know what Helefaint is. Helefaint is, maybe it's an elephant.
This is the sons of Gershon and the sons of...
He doesn't say from which son of Moshe. He says the descendants of Moshe are called a tribe on their own. Now this is interesting because I met Ethiopians who told me that they have a tradition that they're descendants of Moshe. That they alone are descendants of Moshe. So that's what he says over here. There was this tribe that lives alone that are called the descendants of Moshe. And they never carry, they never allow within their domain anything that's defiled. No impure birds are allowed there. No non-kosher animals are allowed in their territory. They don't allow flies in. I don't know how they do that. They don't allow lice in. They don't allow foxes in. They don't allow scorpions or snakes or dogs. They don't let any of that in because these are creatures that only come because people serve idol worship. If there wouldn't be idol worship, there wouldn't be these creatures. That's what he says. Ramban doesn't say that. Ramban says every creature was created for a purpose. And sometimes there are medicines you could only take out of a snake, right? We know heart medication we get from a snake. So maybe Eldad Adani thinks that you can get it from another source. But he says these are, maybe if people didn't worship idols, they wouldn't have heart problems. But the Talmud says you do. Talmud says if you eat mustard, it causes heart problems.
But in small amounts, it's good.
In small amounts, it's good, right? Okay, so it means you could have heart problems without idol worship. I don't know. I'm not quick to believe that this is authentic, but it's still interesting. So they have sheep and cattle and birds, and their sheep give birth twice a year, and they plant twice a year, and they harvest, and they have gardens and orchards and olives and pomegranates and figs and all types of kitniot, legumes, and watermelons and kishuim,
zucchini,
and garlic and onions and barley and wheat, and they are very, very productive, and they have true faith. Their Talmud is all in Hebrew. They don't have a Talmud in Aramaic. And when they quote things, they say, this is our tradition from our Rebbe, from Yoshua bin Nun, from our Rebbe Moshe, all the way back to Hashem. And they don't know about the sages. They weren't around in the Second Temple era. So they only talk Lashon HaKodesh, and they are pure. There are people who go to mikvah, and they're careful to maintain their purity. They never take a vow. And if a person would say Hashem's name in vain, they yell at him. And they say, you should know, if a person takes Hashem's name in vain, their children die young. And they live out their lives. They live 100 years, 120 years. and they never bury their children. A child always lives out to see their parents buried. And they can see three or four generations before they pass from the world. They plant themselves, they harvest themselves, they do not have any slaves or maids. They live a life of equality. People treat one another as equals. They don't lock their doors at night. They consider it an act of shame. I remember when I came to Kohav Yaakov, and they were talking about how now they're starting to lock the doors at night, and they're very embarrassed because they never had to before. That's a big deal. And they let their kids go 10 days journey with the cattle, and they're not worried about robbers or bandits or demons. They're all Levites. They don't have any coin, and they don't have any Israel. They're all descendants of Moshe, so they're all Levites. And they retain that holiness that they have from Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tzaddik, the servant of Hashem. And no one sees them. No one knows them, and they don't know anyone else. The only ones who get to see them every so often are these four tribes that live on the other side of the river of Cush. And they can see one another if they yell to one another. And there's this river called Sabatino, what we call Sambation, that's in between them. And they say, this is what happened to us at a time of war. And they tell all of Israel, hey, whoever, I don't know what it means, they tell all of Israel. Maybe the four tribes tell about what happened to the descendants of Moshe. What happens if they want to communicate with the outside world? They have this pigeon that they could send letters to the four tribes. They go to the river Sambation, and this river goes, their nobles send this pigeon back and forth between them and the four tribes. And they have these precious stones and silver and gold, and they grow excellent linen, and they grow other excellent cloths. They have beautiful clothing, and they're huge in number. They number more than 3 million people. Okay, so that's what we know so far. You know what? We have two more paragraphs. We'll finish the story. He says, we'll finish the story. We'll make a run for it. He says, now this river is 200 amma wide, and it's filled with large and small stones, and they make a lot of noise as they tumble. And at night, you could hear a day's distance from the river, you can hear it. And there are 60 streams. Now, these 60 underground streams converge to one place, and they can get the water from there, and they water their grounds that way. And they also grow pure fish in that stream. Remember, they only have kosher food by them. And for 6 days, this river of rocks runs, and on Shabbos it rests till Motzei Shabbat. Now, on the other side, there's a fire. On the other side of this river, there's this fire that burns on Shabbos, and for a distance of a mile from this river, no one can touch it. This is my name, Eldad ben Machli ben Yechezkel ben Chizkiah ben Aluk ben Avner ben Shimiyahu ben Chatar ben Chur ben Elkanah ben Hillel ben Toviah ben Pedat ben Enan ben Aman ben Tam ben Tami ben Onam ben Gaul ben Shaul ben Kalev ben Shalom ben Kalev ben Amram ben Domem ben Ovadia ben Avraham ben Yosef ben Moshe ben Yaakov ben Kfor ben Ariel ben Asher ben Yov ben Shalem ben Elihu ben Aliyav ben Achisamach ben Chushim ben Dan ben Yaakov Avinu Alav Shalom v'Shalom L'Cho Yisrael Amen. He says his lineage all the way back to Yaakov Avinu. How many generations was that? Were we counting?
I'll say about 40.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Very good. 38 generations till Yaakov Avinu.
38 times at least, let's say 60?
I have no idea. He sent these letters to Spain in the year 4643. And this person, Eldad, was found to be filled with Torah and mitzvos. And if you stay with him from morning to night, he'll teach you Torah all day long with good reasons. And his words were sweeter than honey. And Hashem should give him good merit in this world and the world to come. This is the book, Eldad HaDani. With that, we finished. There are a few versions to the book, but we finished one version.